secret on.
Now 7 o'clock, we bring the Blue Mountain Planning Commission meeting of December the 8th to order at this time. First order of business is pledge of allegiance, followed by a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. The next item is the Community Development Director's Report.
Yes, good evening, Chairman Bibb, members of the Commission. Bringing forward to you a little shorter Director's Report this evening. We've had the November 12th TRC meeting, and the item that is on your sketch plan approval tonight is the first item, the Village Oaks Phase 4 subdivision. The Flavenna Crossroads, that is not coming before you tonight. That was just an amendment to their parking lot on 250. You want to go down, Jason? We've also held another CARE task force meeting on November 16th. Mr. Dahl invited Jack McClellan from the TJ Thomas Jefferson Health District to provide an update on enforcement and the pumping and hauling permit operations that are going on there. And there were a few concerns that were brought up about certain homes in that area. Just want to keep you all as planning commissioners updated that the regional housing locator is now online as of November 12th. Encourage anyone in our community in the region to go and look for rental houses and houses for purchase throughout the region, because that is a one-stop shop for locating available housing for folks in our region here in Charlottesville. Do have some great news to let you know. We've held the planner GIS technician interviews, and we've hired John Michael Whalen. He is a Charlottesville native in this region, and he starts on January 4th in the planning office. That's all I have for you this evening. I'm going to hold any comments if you have any questions.
Anyone have any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The next item is the first of two public comment sections. Anyone wishing to speak about items that may be coming before the Planning Commission, you will be limited to 3 minutes. I'd like to make one comment. If you're here to talk about Ballinger Bluff, the Planning Commission has not really any information on that as of yet, but it hasn't been come before us in any way. Also on Thursday night at 5 o'clock, they're going to have an online community meeting. So, and then there will be some information given at that time. I noticed that several people wanted to come, but only one of them would like to speak. Only one person decided to speak. So I don't know how to pronounce her name. Mrs. Gervaro.
Shabara, yes.
Come forward. You'll be limited to 3 minutes.
Yes, sir. Ready? Yes. My name is Renee Shabara, and I live at 1173 Courthouse Road in Palmyra. Tonight, I'm representing my neighbors regarding the proposed Ballinger Bluff development. The neighbors and I have created a list of questions and concerns for the Planning Commission. While we understand that these questions will not be addressed tonight, we hope that we will be answered in the near future. The first question we have is, what exactly does the Planning Commission have the authority to approve for this project? what does not require approval by the Planning Commission, and what goes to the Board of Supervisors for approval. Secondly, the steep slopes of the property should be taken into consideration when calculating yield. Has the county determined that all slopes above 25% have been subtracted in the developer's yield calculation? We invite the members of the Planning Commission to walk the Ballinger Bluff property to personally see the steep slopes of this land. Over to McGehee, and I will walk the property with any member willing to view it. Furthermore, will the Planning Commission consider the impact of this project on the neighboring wells and take into consideration the steep slopes of this property when determining the number of lots to be approved? And will the board require a civil engineer to certify environmental requirements? Of course, water is a big concern. Currently, the density of wells in the four square miles surrounding Ballinger Bluff is one well per 27 acres. Even at that low density, many of the neighbors have had issues with insufficient water. The proposed density of wells at Ballinger Bluff would be more than one well per acre. That is more than 27 times the density of wells in the surrounding neighborhood. Most of the proposed wells are within 400 feet of eight other wells. Some of the proposed wells are within 400 feet of 14 other wells. The current proposal would have the highest density of wells of anywhere in Fluvanna County. What will the effect of 47 new wells be on the water table? A hydrology report is a hypothetical estimate of the impact of the proposed project on neighboring wells. We would like the Planning Commission to require the developer to put in a minimum of two test wells, draw a large volume, and see how it affects the neighborhood wells. The Folk family and I have agreed to have our wells be part of the testing. Both of our properties adjoin the two sections of Ballinger Bluff. The county should not make a decision about this project until the well testing is done. If the county approves the sketch plan for Ballinger Bluff and the neighbors' wells go dry, how could the county address this problem, or how would the county address this problem given there were extensive neighborhood concerns identified before approval of the development? Of course, at last meeting, we gave several examples of water issues, and we do have documentation from six families. Of course, my time is probably almost up, so I do not have time to review all those tonight, but we do have them available. And that's all I have. Thank you for your time and for your consideration.
That was the only one that has actually signed up to speak, so we will end the first of two public comment sections this time and go to the approval of the minutes from our November 10th, 2020 meeting. Does anybody have any comments about the 2020 minutes or any corrections? If not, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. Have a motion by Mr. Lagosino to approve the minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second, Ms. Mary Key. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. They are approved. The next item is a public hearing for the capital improvement plan for 2022 through 2026. We have to have a public hearing, although at our last meeting, we rated the Planning Commission rated the projects. We will have advice to the Board of Supervisors how we think this should be ranked. The financial part of this is being done by the Board of Supervisors, but we're required to, by law, to have the public hearing tonight.
Yes, good evening again, Chairman Bibb, members of the Commission. Before you tonight is the public hearing for the Capital Improvement Plan for FY22 through years 26. This is a review and recommendation for the Capital Improvement Plan, CIP, for fiscal years 2022 through 2026, which is to be submitted in conjunction with the Fluvanna County budget for fiscal year 2022. The CIP lists major construction and acquisition efforts planned for the next five fiscal years and describes the proposed methods of financing for each project. And the finance staff is here for any questions that you may have. And we also, finance staff has distributed the CIP plan in front of you tonight, and we have it on the screen. I'm going to turn it over to Twisdale and Ms. McGuire. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I don't have anything additional to add since our last discussion of the CIP. If there's any additional questions or concerns that have come up since our last discussion, I'm happy to answer any of those.
Does anybody have any questions from our last meeting, any additional concerns? Or we did go through the complete thing and rank the items. No questions. So we will open the public hearing at this time. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak on the CIP, make any comments, please come forward, state your name and address. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll end the public hearing on the capital improvements plan, and we'll go to a vote. Does anyone have a motion to proceed?
I move we approve this capital improvement plan with the specified priorities.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Zimmer to approve the capital improvement plan as written with the recommendations. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mr. Johnson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. The capital improvement recommendations will be sent forward to the Board Supervisor. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
The next item is Mr. Miles is going to bring us a presentation on the Colonial Circle Master Plan Preview.
Yes, Chairman Bibb. We've actually expanded this not beyond just the Colonial Circle Master Plan preview to be more encompassing of all transportation elements that are going on. So you can go to the next slide, Jason. We do have the two VDOT Smart Scale projects as far as the, if you want to pull that, there you go. The Flavanna County roundabouts, the Route 250 and Troy Road intersection, and the Route 53 and Turkey Sack Trail. And this is the currently submitted intersection improvements for Route 250 and Troy Road. And the left side of your slide is going into Charlottesville, and the right is going into Richmond. Next slide. The one that most people have been expressing interest in is the Flavanna County Route 53 area roundabout. That area, we're currently wrapping up the development phases of Nahor Village. There's a sidewalk connection that the current bank is responsible for constructing. And there would be no current connection to the western property at the new roundabout site if you go to the next slide. So where the Route 53 logo is located, just to the left of that is Nahor Village. And from the entrance to Nahor Village down to the UVA Federal Credit Union and Food Line would be the construction of a sidewalk to interconnect the Nahor Village residents to the shopping center at the Food Line and UVA area. On the southern part of the slide is the area where currently we do not have that area under development or part of our what's called our economic development scoring. So that interchange but currently would just be a three-prong roundabout at this time. In the future, the stub that would be placed in there would enter into that area for future development. But at this time, that's the three-prong roundabout proposal that's under consideration for smart scale funding. Next slide. So we'll kind of go on to the Colonial Circle Master Plan. As you all may remember from a year and a half ago in June of 19, that 325 residential phased units were approved and 81,000 square feet of commercial space was also approved. And what I'm going to show you tonight is what's coming to you in February for the first commercial use. So the new roundabout is the diagram in the lower right-hand portion of the slide is showing you where the new roundabout is located. In the area that's hatched in the red just to the left of there is the new proposed convenience store car wash and gas sales. You'll see that the area that's located in the center in the rear of the slide area, the center area just behind the commercial out parcels is the location for the future residential multifamily. And then that boulevard entrance that comes back would phase into the townhouses and the single family homes that are located there. So if you go on to the next slide. And the next one, Jason, I'm sorry. So the first proposed commercial use would be a convenience store with gas sales and the car wash facility that's located on the left-hand side. These type of uses, even in the R3 residential planned community, require a special use permit, not related to the convenience store, but to the car wash sales, facility. And so they would be, the applicant, Stephen Peters, would be proposing to do a special use permit. We're currently working with Champ Engineering on the overall master plan throughout the month of December and January, and bringing that before you all in February for the special use permit for that request. It's basically an opportunity for them to gain revenue for the construction of the sale of this out parcel, for the construction of the boulevard entrance to be able to get back to the residential multifamily area. So you'll see that this is a very large convenience store that will provide additional gas sales and car wash facility to this immediate area of the county. And then also coming before you tonight, we've worked with Chairman Bibb to establish going into 2021, Fluvanna County will be officially notifying VDOT at the Culpeper office that we would like to request VDOT to participate in our 2040 comprehensive plan for road intersection analysis and thoroughfare plan analysis. Tonight, hopefully, we're asking you all, as the Commission and Chairman Bibb, to assemble a transportation subcommittee comprised of VDOT, planning staff, and public safety members. Some of those members would include Major David Wells of our Sheriff's Office, Chief of Police Tony Abbott, John Wilson of VDOT, who is our main point of contact for the Technical Review Committee, and then Chairman Bibb would be placed on that if he so chooses to. At this point, the last item is the Zion Crossroads Small Area Plan. We've handed out some color information so that you can take that home with you over the holidays. Kittleson and Associates, there's a color slide.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes, sir.
On the sheet I have, Calvin Hickman of Public Works was also listed as member of that.
He's also listed. I wanted to give you an opportunity to see if you wanted. Mr. Hickman also provides road construction updates through VDOT.
It wasn't listed as well.
No, I actually wanted to. I hadn't discussed that with you this morning, sir, so I wanted to give you that option to appoint him as well. I apologize. Kittleson and Associates is the VDOT transportation consultant that's been working with us on the small area plan in Zion Crossroads. They have posted on the TJPDC website the link that you'll find in the color half page summary there. If you can go on, you and your neighbors or anyone else who's interested in providing information, and complete that information and survey by January 8th, and Sandy Shackelford at the TJPDC, who's the project manager for this, Her email is available if you do have any questions. I, of course, can answer any questions for you if you need to as well. But this is the final kind of effort in our COVID world to gain some additional input. We've had some previous surveys through SurveyMonkey and MetroQuest through VDOT, and this is the final link that we're trying to get completed. And then we're to meet with Louisa County in early 2021 after this survey is completed to compile and start finalizing the small area plan document. Technically, we're about 4 to 6 months behind in the process due to COVID. With our part of it being Flavanna and Louisa, but the TJPDC and Kittleson Associates, they've been working throughout the entire COVID operation time frame on the plan. They just want to present it through this link the topics and suggestions and recommendations that they have for the plan.
Are there a lot of responses so far to the surveys that's been put out thus far?
Yes, the SurveyMonkey one and also the MetroQuest one. We had a fairly good amount of responses from the folks in the Starlight Business Park. Store Your Board, for instance, the owner of that building was quite extensive in his thoughts and information of what he wanted to see for that area. We've also had some of the folks at the office park that is located up there on 250, kind of in front of County Waste. Some of the folks in that business office park expressed some very good suggestions and recommendations. And the MetroQuest survey has mainly come back to Kittleson and Chuck Proctor at VDOT. What we'd like to do in the end is compile all of this data, Sandy Shackelford and I, and present it to you all probably at the February meeting once we've received all that information. Now, also one other thing, Kelly Harris in County Administration also has our current five-year report and information requesting the citizens and developers and others to complete Flavanna County-specific information. So we'll probably draw from that survey pool as well to provide information on the small area plan and the overall comprehensive plan.
How long does the survey take?
Honestly, Mrs. Markey, I have not taken it myself. Normally, most of them are 10 or 15 minutes. We just got this from her this week. So Brian Rothamel, our Economic Development Coordinator, he took it, and he's also email blasted it out to our Flavanna Chamber of Commerce members. I want to say it's usually about 10 minutes to take if you want to spend more time. I think he indicated, he could have spent a little bit more time, but I'm going to go ahead and take it on Friday and talk to Sandy Shackelford. But we just received this on Monday, so, of this week.
One other question. Does the survey identify people by where they live?
Yes, it's done. Most of our survey work has been done by zip code, by Troy, Palmyra, and other zip codes. Some Fork Union people have completed it. And then obviously the other ones in Louisa, Gordonsville, and some of the other zip codes for that side of the study. So we're trying to do our best to get some of the survey work compiled and put together because we actually have a fair amount of recommendations completed, and the core team of TJPDC and the planning people, we've been meeting actually each quarter at the Rural Transportation Technical Committee online for discussion purposes with Chuck Proctor, and he's been updating us relative to Kittleson and Associates research. If you all remember that they are studying 18 intersections along 15 and 250,
and I think sometime in February to March, they're to finalize all that interchange analysis and present that. And we would like to have them come to the Planning Commission and present that. Most likely through a virtual meeting, excuse me, virtually. They're located in Reston, Virginia for their analysis. But Chairman Bibb, that's all I have at this time. Happy to answer any questions.
Any other questions? Have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
There are no. The next item is subdivision Village Oak Phase 4 sketch plan. Mr. Bob.
So the Village Oaks Phase 4, if you all remember back on October 21st, the Board of Supervisors approved this rezoning request, and you all heard it in September. This is the official Phase 4 sketch plan. We've been working with Keith Lancaster at Southern Development and his engineering firm, Timmons Group. So just to orientate you again, this is the Lake Monticello Road corridor. The subject property is located in the center of the slide, just on the outer edge of the current Village Oaks development. This is a closer shot, an aerial, letting you know basically where River Oaks, Village Oaks in vicinity, and then River Run, the larger lots that come back in off of River Run Drive that is traversing through the current Village Oaks and the proposed Phase 4. This is a proposed sketch plan that you all have before you tonight. They originally started off with, I believe, 41 units, and they've, in their design work, have come down to 29 due to some of the topography in that area and some of the layout of the homes that they're proposing to do. You'll see it's basically two cul-de-sacs and then the lots that back up to the current Village Oaks development. In that area, there's the stub road that comes down off of Village Oaks, and then there is a, if you can go to the next slide, Jason, this is a little cleaner version of it for me to be able to get it into a slide. If you'll see at the bottom part of the slide, there is a 20-foot emergency access easement at the end of the cul-de-sac that's proposed, that's there. I will let you know that a majority or bulk of the comments that were presented at the TRC meeting dealt with Aqua Virginia connection with Terry Blankenship, and then also the fire services folks had some comments relative to the road width. The road width is adequate to serve their fire apparatus. And then also they're looking for fire hose connections that are national standard threads. That's a standard common of theirs. And the fire flow mount on the 6-inch water line is adequate for the work that they would need to do for fire suppression. And the, as I stated, the comments about the 20-foot emergency access easement, it should not be used for site construction, vehicle parking, or storage. So that could be left clean and open for emergency access at any time. We just had some additional comments about, in planning, about the sidewalks. They are proposing the sidewalk and pedestrian trail system to be all on one side of the road, and that's Mr. Lancaster and I researched that back to the original 2005 master plan, and that is how they are currently done in Village Oaks now, proposed to continue to do so with this development. And on the northern, the upper part of the last lot, lot 29, you'll see the pedestrian trail system that connects over to the other parts of the pedestrian trail in Village Oaks along Lake Monticello Road. So I think at the time of the Planning Commission and board rezonings, you all, both bodies, had concerns about pedestrian access and interconnectivity, and that's now been taken care of based upon this sketch plan layout. I will let you know that planning staff and county staff overall feels that this sketch plan for phase four of Village Oaks is in compliance with the original 2005 master plan for Village Oaks. Would like to also just remind you that the R3 Residential Planning Community District is intended to permit compact village-style residential development, and then the eventual associated community mixed uses, open space, and creative design techniques in accordance with the master plan. We have found that Southern Development is keeping with the approved 2005 master plan and feel that the sketch plan is appropriate for the 29 new residential lots. The recommended condition, if you can go to the next slide. These are the five conditions that we feel are appropriate for recommendation of the sketch plan approval. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that you all have. And Mr. Keith Lancaster is here to represent Southern Development.
Anybody have any questions for Mr. Miles or Mr. Lancaster?
Okay.
No questions. Thank you very much. Do I have a motion to approve or deny this request?
I move that the Planning Commission approve SUB 2037 Village Oaks Phase 4 sketch plan, a request for 29 residential lots on tax map 9, section 14, parcels 1 through 6, and subject to the five conditions listed in the staff report.
I have a motion by Ms. Mary Key. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Zimmer. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Approved 5-0. Thank you. The next item is new business, the Fluvanna Transportation Subcommittee. This is a proposed subcommittee that they wanted to get started before the first of the year. And as you know, we'll be working on the comp plan in 2021, and transportation is part of that, so forth like that. There are proposed members of this committee. Mr. Miles had asked me if I would be willing to do it because I'm available. Most of these go in the daytime meetings, so and I agreed to do that. So does anybody have any questions, comments, or anything about that? Or would we like to approve this?
I can't read that. Is there any fire representatives on that?
No, sir. We do not currently have a fire representative, but Chairman Bibb and I did talk this morning to see if you had an interest in serving.
Yeah, I would.
Because we would like to have two planning commissioners serve. Very good. And just
if we have advance notice, I can make arrangements.
These are all going to currently be conference calls that we would be doing, so you would not have to come to the county.
Yeah, I could do that from
you. Remote in from your office, sir. What we're doing is we paired it up with the technical review committee. Meets the second Thursday of every month at 10 a.m. and then we would propose to have these transportation subcommittee meetings to occur at 11 to 12 that same day. So for instance, Mr. Wilson's already there, usually Mr. Hickman, myself, and Chairman Bibb, the only two other folks, the Major Wells and Chief Tony Abbott at the lake, have are not usually at our meetings, but what we're proposing to do is have it through conference calls on the phone. To respect you all's time.
Mm-hmm.
And that would run through the month of June. We're hoping to complete it. I can, once it's Chairman Bibb has appointed everyone, I can get that set up. And we're getting ready to, Ms. Porter has created and finalized all of our 2021 calendar dates. So we're going to get that sent out to you all in the organizational packet, and I'll include that for the transportation subcommittee in the January organizational meeting.
Does anybody have any questions about the people that's listed on this proposed transportation subcommittee? We understand that I would be appointing these people to be at the transportation subcommittee, but I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware and saw who it was and so forth like that, to make sure that you thought that this was the proper people.
Mr. Chairman, my question would be, and I don't know how it would work, but is there not room or for a citizen to be a part of this, or the design? I don't know. I don't know who answers that question, but
I think actually this is more to the people that are actually involved in this about transportation and so forth like that, like the different people in the sheriff's department, the Lake Monticello Police Department, fire, and so forth like that, that are actually involved in the transportation part of it. It's to see how the transportation needs to go forward in by looking at these, each one of them have expertise in their field.
So, Mrs. Murray-Key, what the reason for Chief Abbott and Major Wells involved and for their involvement is VDOT is constantly asking us when we present information in the smart scale process and to identify items in our comp plan, which that's what we're setting about to do, and then also to start building what's called a VDOT related thoroughfare plan, which we have to create at some point for additional smart scale funding in dollars. But the most important things, I've spoke personally this fall with Major Wells about, is accident and incidental reports that they have for collecting the data and placing it into the VDOT system. Especially we've had concerns about the Roarton Lake intersection at 53, and then also the to a lesser extent the Nahor Village the Nahor Drive intersection that is kind of askew where the mulch business is located, the dentist, and it's all in that area. So we want to start looking at intersections that don't properly align with one another. We anticipate especially that Nahor Drive intersection at some point to be a secondary access for future development on the west side of 53. And that was actually identified some years ago, 15 years ago, on the rezoning of the Nahor Village information that Mr. Lancaster and I are finishing up. We actually have a Nahor Village HOA meeting tomorrow as a Zoom meeting for finalizing some of their development before we have the Colonial Circle development take flight. And as you see, the Village Oaks development is currently progressing quite well. So our goal is, and the lake reached out, and the reason I did that additional presentation, the lake reached out after Thanksgiving to find out if they have a relatively new board there, there's three new members, if they could get an update on transportation, because they're receiving questions from their constituents at the lake. So we're trying to, this time last year, Mr. Dahl and I met with Mr. Hurtwitz and Alan Saunders at VDOT, and this is kind of the next year, coming full forward a year later, kind of some of the things that we discussed. And the main idea was, once the Colonial Circle roundabout was complete, that we would start in earnest on the transportation part of the comp plan. Because we have well over 500 units that will be constructed in the next 3 to 5 years, just on the Lake Monticello corridor itself, to include even the South Boston, Island Hill one that Southern Development is doing as well. The one thing I didn't present tonight is the South Boston interchange with Lake Monticello Road on the other end, because that is kind of a hybrid project. That's to do turn lanes and slope improvements for as you're coming down the hill. Most people are rather challenged to get stopped at that stop sign correctly. So VDOT has put some funding dollars towards that. That is actually technically our third smart scale project, but some of the, and I'll just get this phrase, telefee funds that they collect, they actually have put some of that funding towards that intersection. So that's kind of a hybrid smart scale project that's currently going on, and they've asked us to hold off on discussing that one until we get the other two roundabouts established at this point. Yes, sir.
Jim, if I could ask a question. I kind of agree with Ms. Murray-Key, though, that I could see some value in getting just a citizen member, just from a kind of a transparency, engagement, you know, somebody, although Mr. Bibb is obviously a citizen, I'm sure other than folks there live in the county, they all have some other kind of affiliation and a reason for being on here, as opposed to just a different, you know, just a citizen member.
Right.
And I would suggest that Ms. Steger represents a group that could probably dig up an interest with the Savannah Leadership Development Program. She could probably find somebody of interest if we wanted to engage them.
Okay. So our thought process is that once kind of the staff members and the two commissioners have put together the information, is that we would also, in the month of July through September, add in some additional citizen input. Once we've kind of created that core bit of information that we have, and we're also hoping that not only some of our current FLDP people would be involved, but we're hoping that some of the members come out of the Zion Crossroads Small Area Plan, since there are a lot of challenging issues up there that we would like to have in the transportation and thoroughfare plan section of the comp plan. So we're really trying to use the technical analysis of fire, rescue, police, and then the two commissioners to be able to put together some of that data and then present that. We're hoping in July, who knows what may happen, but we're hoping to be able to return to some quasi-workshop-type meetings with VDOT and Kittleson and Associates, but that's 6 months away. We don't know what might happen. We may still be in virtual storyboard things on screen, but that's what our goal is, to try to get that information put together and kind of marry or merge the small area plan and the overall research that we've done as a transportation subcommittee. But yes, we do. Thank you for asking that. We do have thoughts on bringing in citizen representatives to provide some additional information and to look at the data, the crash data, and the intersection improvement requests that come to the sheriffs and the police department at the lake quite often.
That could be after some of the technical data has been brought together. Then the citizens can have some input then after the basically technical data.
Okay.
Well, and just let me further add is that I think sometimes that the public thinks that information is skewed one way for a particular reason because they get the technical information after the fact, as opposed to those individuals being a part of it and hearing how we got to things being presented to us or the board supervisors. So I know that we're ready to move forward. I just, you know, ask this commission, you know, to consider that when we do new subcommittees, because I think that it would be helpful when those folks who may not be a part of the commission or the board supervisors or whatever group that may be, they would be able to explain to a masses of people because they participated in it, and it would help sometimes alleviate some of the confusion, the strain about trying to figure out how we move forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to get that.
At this time, I would like to appoint these people, if they are willing to serve on this subcommittee, and then also look into those concerns as we go forward to see at the technical part whether that a citizen at that point is that change, and then we're going to bring that into line to the technical part, because there's a lot of technical data that like the sheriff's department and other places are going to bring to the table, is basically technical data. So I am going to appoint the people listed on the sheet here to this committee if they're willing to serve.
You're going to add me to that too? You're going to add me to that too?
Yes. Anybody have any other questions?
Is that something we need to vote on, or we
need to just leave it there? It's just done by chairman's right to appoint subcommittees. This is long we on each two of the five people.
I've never done that exactly before either, so therefore I had to find out what we had to do also.
Yes.
Okay. Any more questions? Okay, if not, now's the time for the second of two public comment sections for the night. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak on any item that's before the commission or coming before the mission, please come forward, state your name and address. You'll be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end the second of two public comment sections. And if there's no objection from staff or the Planning Commission, we will adjourn at 7:47.